Chapter 3. Survival. Hungry, as usual, I found that at least there were more possibilities for food along the wide river than inside the big red train station to which I'd been transported days earlier. As the stallholders had seemed indifferent to begging children, I went along the water's edge, thinking I might find people cooking there. Daylight confirmed that this was the biggest river I'd ever seen, but it was also fouler and smellier, lined with dead animals, human excrement, and other kinds of filth. As I picked my way along its edge, I was horrified to see two dead people lying among the piles of rubbish, one with his throat cut, the other with his ears chopped off. I'd seen dead bodies before at home, but they were always treated respectfully, and I hadn't come across any just lying outside. Here, no one seemed to pay any more attention to dead people than to dead animals, even if they seemed to have been violently attacked. These bodies lay in the open, under a hot sun, covered with flies, and, it appeared, gnawed by rats. The sight made me feel sick, but what struck me most powerfully was that it confirmed what I'd already begun to feel, that every day in this city was a matter of life and death. There was danger everywhere and in everyone. There were robbers and people who took children, and I assumed even killers, based on seeing these mangled bodies. It opened up all sorts of fears. Was this the world that my brothers lived in when they went away, and the reason they never let me leave the stations when I travelled with them? What had happened to Gudu at the train station? Where had he got to, and why hadn't he been there when I woke up? Was he somewhere like this, looking for me? And what did my family think had happened to me? Were they looking, or did they think I was dead, gone, lost forever? Was I? I fell to the ground and cried wrenching tears until no more tears came out. Why had this happened to me? More than anything, I wanted to get back home to my family.